You're joining us for another episode of College Talks brought to you by MyBookHeart.com.
This series brings together students, parents, and professionals sharing their voices on a variety of college topics.
It's all about students finding the information they need for a successful college experience. Welcome to College Talks with your hosts, Hannah
and Carrie.
Our topic for today is finding a job after college. For this episode, we have our newest guest, Matthew.
Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a bit more about your college and professional background?
Sure, of course. My name is Matt Calcagni. I am a professional with Quinnipiac University. I oversee their marketing sales of athletic events, and I am also a board member for the Pulse Young Professional Group, which is out of New Haven County, and I'm just happy to be here with you all today.
Thank you. We appreciate you coming on the show. What is Pulse?
Pulse is comprised of 8 members initially serving on their board. I'm one of them, and we have a great relationship with the New Haven, Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce, which is rare for a lot of young professional groups. But our mission is really simple. It's really trying to bring young professionals together just from various industries and connecting them, not just with each other, but also leaders within our community, whether that's through networking, educational, or social events. And it's just a group of young professionals trying to better themselves to really engage and learn more about the local community and really find opportunities as well through the relationships that they form as a member part of our group.
Okay, great. How does Pulse help students find a job after graduation?
Pulse really has a variety of opportunities for graduates or anyone just kind of looking to find a job after graduating. We do that by really setting up networking events. This helps grow their marketability and expand their brand. Throughout the year, we'll coordinate a number of workshops, meetups with local professionals, supplement with professional development events too. For example, this past fall, we had one of our signature events where we invite local guests to really speak and set up like breakout sessions that are specific to certain, I guess, topics, of one of which was like LinkedIn. I know a lot of universities now might require a student to create a LinkedIn account. Essentially, in my opinion, LinkedIn is a professional version of Facebook, and I think it's underutilized for a lot of students or graduates looking to enter the job market. So we had somebody speak about that and really best practices on how to use that tool to market themselves and to others. But then we also had Lee and Best HR consultants join us also to really speak to resume building and best practices for interviews. And then finally, I think our last professional we had was a photographer. What they did was they provided headshots, professional, high-quality headshots that somebody could come in, take, and then they would send back to the the graduate or young professional that took them that day. And again, they could use that as their new LinkedIn profile picture or any other social picture. In terms of Pulse and students finding jobs after graduations, there's growth opportunities that we provide them that we hope will kind of enhance their brand and marketability to local businesses. But also with our relationship with the Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce, we have great resources where they know what businesses are hiring, and great for us to really place people if they reach out and let us know what they're looking for. Go onto the Greater New Haven website, the jobs tab there, that you could just really scroll down, and if you see something as a graduating student, reach out to us, and we'd be happy to kind of put you in contact with somebody that's more knowledgeable about that job or what you're looking for.
Great. Who can be a member? How much is the membership fee? And what does the membership fee include?
We don't really go by guidelines of who can be a member. I like to say that anybody can be a member, but typically we do find people that are either 21 or between the ages of 21 and 40 or so. It's where we find a lot of our members kind of falling in that age range, but they come from all different backgrounds and in industries with experiences. In terms of who can be a member, pretty much anybody, if they're motivated to join us and be part of kind of what our mission is. But also in terms of fees, we do offer a lot of free events. And to be honest, the majority of our events are free to attend. Again, we have great sponsors that will donate food or beverages or space. So there's really no cost to us. Therefore, there's no cost to our members. But there is, again, if you go to greatergnhcc.com, there is a tab at the top that if you scroll to the right, you'll see Pulse. Click on that or hover over it. There'll be a drop-down bar, which will kind of lead you to a membership link. And from there, you can see that we have different information regarding memberships, whether it's a business or company that's looking to team up with us to offer our services in to their employees, or if it's just a student or young professional looking to join on an individual basis, that fee is $45. And what usually includes with that type of membership is access to specific events, unique events, and then discounts for events that you might register for that are, there's a cost associated with that. Anyone could attend free events. So there's really no need to sign up. But if you want the full experience of being a member, it'd be $45.
So it sounds like if somebody was still in college and they were looking at building their resume and getting ready for a career, they could also still be a member of Pulse, correct?
Absolutely. Again, I work at Quinnipiac University, and some of the students that I work with have come to the events just to learn more. They heard, you know, me speaking about what's coming up, about a guest speaker that we were having, and they're like, I want to hear that. So they came and they loved it. And again, you could do it one-off. Fancy is whatever you're interested in, just to come and visit. But again, you're absolutely correct with that.
How often do you have networking events, and where are they usually held?
So typically we aim to have at least one networking event each month, but depending on the time of year, we'll have, you know, maybe 2 to 3 per month. And traditionally, again, we stick to the greater New Haven area. So in around New Haven, Milford, I think we had an event, but we have a strong relationship with district, which is really a cool spot in New Haven.
Wow, that's great. What types of educational seminars do you provide, and how often are they held?
We do have a number of areas from different backgrounds. So from health and wellness, work-life balance, to professional industry specific seminars. One of my favorites was when we had Nick Wedge speak with us about just the innovative projects he and his team were working on. As a little context, Nick is a Connecticut native, and he's the head of learning and development with Uber in their advanced technologies groups. So we, through our partnership, opportunity to give, you know, the seminar that he was putting on, send it to our members. It really helped people within that industry kind of learn more, you know, make connections, and just really get excited about what their interests and passions are. But again, the seminars themselves are, you know, different topics. That's just one example of one that we recently did.
So when I was reading up on Pulse, I went to the Pulse website, and it mentioned that you are involved with community service projects. Can you tell me a little bit about that? And do you have to be a member to get involved?
You do not need to be a member to get involved. We do like to, as a community group, we like to give back and support the people that support us, and just really take care of people that can't take care of themselves. Recently, we've teamed up with Yale New Haven Children's Hospital to do like a toy collection around the holidays to donate. And then we also planned to team up with Fish of Greater New Haven to really, like, as a food drive. They're a nonprofit that really delivers groceries to folks who are either homebound or really in need in our community. So those are just two quick groups that we've worked with. We're open to other relationships, trying to help out other nonprofits as we can. But those were the top two off my mind that really speak to what we do for the community and the projects that we try to be part of.
Okay. What is the benefit of doing networking events, seminars, and service projects for a recent grad?
The number one reason would be to network, to get yourself out there, to connect with people, and to be part of the community. Realistically, I think a lot of what we do hopefully aligns with a lot of students trying to graduate. And I think just the diversity that we have, and kind of whether it's, again, a seminar or event, we have a lot of topics that we cover that we think that they'll be interested in. And through those, we hope they meet like-minded people that will kind of enhance their journey, their career path. So I think just to be involved and to really just show up to an event, even if you don't know anything about what it is, it's just good to experience something new if they haven't done so already.
Is this organization nationwide or specific to only Connecticut?
Pulse is just specific to Connecticut, but you'll see that if you're looking at young professionals groups, there's a number of them actually even within Connecticut. I know one that we've partnered with was Fuel, which I think is located in Shelton, and I think closer to where y'all are is Spark, which is located in the Greater River Valley. So there are a number of young professional groups within Connecticut. We are specific to the Greater New Haven County, but there are, again, national ones that you could look out and find across, you know, the nation to, if you're planning to move. And that's, I think, another thing that we try to do is when connecting with our businesses, our business partners, they might have some people that are moving from out of state to Connecticut, not just Connecticut, the Connecticut movement for a job relocation. So that's what we also try to do, is serve those companies by really, you know, sharing what's local and engaging them and introducing them to the community, their employees, so that they feel like they're welcome and it's a, you know, open and it's a good fit for them. But again, if you were to look across the nation, you'll find a number of young professional groups putting on these type of events that similar to what we do.
Great. Do you provide any mentorship program?
We really don't. But what we have found is that just through our events, we've seen some of the members, or even they aren't members, they'll just come to an event or two, really find somebody that, you know, shares the same background or interests that they do, where through that relationship, they do become mentors. So again, we don't really have an official mentorship program, but if that is something that is in, of interest to a graduating student, don't be afraid to ask, because again, we're interested in connecting people with other people to really expand the relationships, and that's the power of networking.
So for any current college students that are in school, what kind of college major would you say would benefit most from joining Pulse?
All backgrounds are welcome. Again, we have a diverse membership pool. And again, with our relationship with the Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce, their resources and connections, we really couldn't kind of fit all backgrounds. In terms of our planning and what events or opportunities we might present throughout the year, they might, again, jump from a robotics seminar or discussion to something different that is in the health and wellness field. So again, everyone's welcome, and there's really no limitation to certain backgrounds or interests that people have to join up with us and come to an event.
Over the last few months, things have obviously changed a lot with COVID. How was Pulse affected and how did Pulse adapt?
I'd say like many organizations, COVID really threw a curveball in how we operated. We had to actually cancel one of our March Madness happy hour social events because of it. But we've moved to a lot of virtual kind of channels and social media, leaned on them more. So we do have Pulse YPNH for Instagram and Pulse Young Professionals Group on Facebook. So we've been really leaning on the social media platforms and Zoom meetings, as I'm sure a lot of people have, whether it's for classes or, you know, for meetings, whatnot. So again, really going digital. And we held, I want to say in May, we held a kind of a state of the jobs market seminar, a recruiter and an HR professional to really speak about what was going on within Connecticut and the job market. Because, you know, within the state of Connecticut, even across the nation, we're all affected to some degree on COVID-19. And a lot of people are concerned on what that means for them. So I think just, again, for us to really use and utilize the social media platforms, the Zoom meetings and whatnot, it's really kind of how we've adapted. And we're actually thinking about how this reopening and the different phases in Connecticut will affect our events, you know, moving forward. So it's something that we have to be thoughtful about and also understand just it's affecting everybody.
Have you noticed that participation is more or less due to COVID?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly has an effect. To be honest, I think when our virtual conversation about the state of the job market was one of our better well-attended events. I think it lasted about an hour, but we had probably half of the members or attendees just stay for the whole thing, where some people just popped in for a little bit, see, check it, what it's out, what it's about, and just really listen to what they were interested in. Again, we had two different people talk about different things. I think there's a heightened sense of, you know, I want to be involved, because I think people want to know what's going on within their community. I think it will affect maybe some of our attendees and the number of attendees we have moving forward. If we were to have something in person, I'm sure it would drop off a little bit just out of, you know, concern or precaution. I think there's still a lot of unknowns with the coronavirus. So everyone's trying to be protective in some way or another. So I think I could see us leaning more on a virtual or some kind of online social event, you know, in the near future. Again, for I think we have some kind of sense of security with a vaccine or whatnot. So I think COVID will have some effect with our events moving forward.
Okay, now let's get personal. Were you involved with Pulse before becoming the public relations chair?
So again, I wasn't really too knowledgeable about Pulse. Learned about Pulse through my network. Turns out one of my colleagues at Quinnipiac, you know, took position with the chamber, and we are actually really grateful to the chamber because they provide us some leadership. I know Garrett Sheehan and Tamika Miller and Jesse Phillips now do a great job for us and with us. It's really through my network that I learned more about Pulse. And they had an opportunity that they said that they had an opening for a chair on the committee. So I said, this is something I want to be part of, and kind of how it came to be.
So does this program help you personally?
Absolutely. Again, it's really extending my network. I've met so many people through Pulse. It's just unbelievable. At first, like, you have to kind of go slow because it's just like a new change, and there's so many names and faces, and, you know, take time to learn like a lot of people. So again, in terms of my career, I think it's great just because it extends my network. And if I have any questions, like, I think a lot of people could be pigeonholed into what their job role is and really don't have a resource to reach out to. And I think through Pulse, that's kind of allowed me to know many people in different industries that I could really reach out to and bounce a question off of them if I'm just curious or want to learn more. So I think overall, in the long term, it's going to be a great move for me just to become part of Pulse.
You mentioned earlier that you work at a college. Are you involved in any other college-related organizations?
My work with college in, you know, Quinnipiac Athletics is kind of the extent of what I do at the university level. It's really a full-time job in its own right. I think my position itself touches upon a lot of different areas within the university. So I've been privileged to really wear a lot of hats and learn a lot of things and kind of get connected with, whether it's student affairs, helping put on the, whether it's commencement or spring concerts. So it's not just kind of what I do for the university and athletics, but also how I contribute to the community at Quinnipiac and really touch the students that I interact with daily and see how I could help them really achieve what their goals are. In short, I think that's the extent of my working life at Quinnipiac.
What sports does your college offer, and did COVID affect that?
Yeah, so I primarily work with men's and women's hockey and men's and women's basketball. And at the time, in late March or mid-March, we were looking to go to our playoffs for basketball. We were going down to Atlantic City for the first year as part of the MAC championships for basketball. And then we were looking to host the quarterfinals for the ECAC men's hockey. So in the middle of that, we knew that COVID was really on the horizon months ahead. Quinnipiac actually pulled many of their students out. They can't force them, but they suggested, and a lot of them followed suit, that they leave Italy for study abroad. You know, that was, I think, earlier than a lot of other universities did it. And I think a lot of people are thankful for that. So again, just not even on athletics, but university-wide, like, this whole COVID-19 and has had a trickle-down effect with everyone. We have a lot of Ivy schools that within athletics, we play and compete against on the hockey side, ECAC. And we were actually looking to go up against Yale. You know, their athletic director and the leadership team decided that, you know, it's in the best interest that they pull themselves from competition just because they didn't want to put their student athletes in harm's way. Because there's a lot of uncertainty, and just out of precautionary reasons, that's what happened. So then we were scrambling to find and see who our opponent would be. And I think it was Princeton at the time. Everything happened so quick that the NBA was, I think, the first professional league that really made a decision to cancel or suspend the rest of their season. And really, again, within athletics, once that was made, I think everyone else followed suit, and we were shut down and really trying to figure out to navigate to the, you know, online distant learning type thing, but also to really stay connected with our student athletes, just because there was so much change happening so quickly. I think communication for us was very important. I think overall, I think we did a great job at managing that as best as we could.
It sounds like you guys did a great job. Is Quinnipiac planning on offering sports in this fall?
Oh, yes. So as of right now, we're planning for a full season for fall and winter sports. Again, primarily speaking about the basketball and hockey seasons. Now, there might be some fall sports traditionally that start earlier, like soccer's, that might be affected. Again, with COVID-19, we've really looked at reducing the distance that a lot of our teams travel, whether it's on flights or busing and whatnot, not just due to precautionary reasons, but I think mainly for that. I think those types of sports will be affected, where they're going to have a shortened season, which might eliminate some non-conference games, but still have their regular conference schedule and a championship at the end of it. So again, the earlier sports that are supposed to report will be affected, I think, to some degree. And as long as things trend down and, you know, reopen within the, you know, state and those guidelines, I know, I think we're currently in phase two. I think there's up to phase four, at least, that we're planning to have a full season for our main sports. And I really feel bad for the you know, the schools, universities that have football, because they start even earlier with practices and whatnot. And even to a certain extent, like our basketball teams traditionally are on campus taking summer class and doing summer workout and get better and prepare for the season. It's really interesting at how this pandemic is really going to change the landscape of college athletics and college lifestyle as a whole.
Well, Matt, I have a really hard question for you.
Okay.
Hope you can handle it. What is your favorite sport?
I have to say football. It's my favorite, but second would be baseball. I love sports. Always grew up playing them. So pick one, I'd say it's football.
Okay, we know our listeners want to know, what's your favorite team?
For football, the Indianapolis Colts.
What? Not the Patriots?
Not the Patriots. I just want to have my own team. Everyone is whether on the Patriots or the Giants, but I just wanted my own team. And at the time, I was a big fan of Peyton Manning. So wherever he gets drafted, that's the team I'm going to kind of latch on to. And even, you know, when he moved on, I was still a Colts fan. So that's how I led myself to Colts, but baseball, Dodgers and Yankees, and then basketball, Spurs. Gotta love Tim Duncan. And I went to school at Siena College. So in terms of hockey, I'm a Sabres fan. So eclectic group there, but those are where my professional allegiances are.
So one last question, and it's back to talking about Pulse. How does Pulse advertise to college students?
Actually, we have sponsors is Southern Connecticut State University. We've kind of partnered with them to kind of get into at least that university and share kind of what we are about with their students. And also as a Quinnipiac employee in new leadership with us, with Judy Olean, she's become more engaged with the Chamber of Commerce, Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce. We're starting to market more direct marketing. We do have pamphlets. We do have a website. We do have social media. So it's really, we have to kind of enhance our efforts to really get out to more eyeballs and really share our story and how we could help others. And I think once we do that, our ranks will grow by a lot. And I think one of our growth opportunities is really looking at the colleges and seeing a lot of people within the state, finding them local jobs to stay within Connecticut. So again, we have some work to do, but I think we're going to try to utilize all channels that we possibly can.
Thank you, Matt, for coming on our show and offering all this valuable insight on finding a job after college and networking. We loved hearing your perspective on how to succeed after college. We are all about professionals helping students. We hope you will join us again for another episode.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Here's to another successful episode of College Talks.
Please follow us at My Book Cart on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to stay up to date on any new episodes.